Right, good morning, everyone. Are you all awake? Good morning. Okay. So for the next 3 weeks, just something we felt to speak into, probably links a little bit with what Helmut has just said, is a little bit of a series called Don't Give Up, because sometimes this time of the year, I'm not sure if it's just me, but you want to give up. Anyone else? Is it just me? Okay. Six others of you. That's great. I'm not alone. But I know that this time of year we can get tired, and just the general sense, speaking to a couple of people in the church, that a lot of us are actually going through tough times at the moment. And so I want to just actually start by saying something to you, but when I say it, this is not so that you can bring us food, it's not so that you can give me hugs and say, are you okay? It's not faith by hinting is what some people call it. It's not that at all. But I actually just wanted to start this morning by saying, as I'm preaching this morning, and as I'm specifically preaching on the fact that we are not to give up as Christians when life gets tough, I wanted to say that for us at the moment, I'm standing here preaching to myself this morning because I'm going through a bit of a tough time. Okay. Again, it's so weird when the pastor stands up and says that. It's a bit of a taboo, but I believe in church it's not supposed to be an off-limit topic. I think we should all live in the light. Sometimes in Christianity, we do this thing. In Afrikaans sê ons, jy moet die blink aan bo hou as jy by die kerk kom. And I just don't think we should do that. I don't think we need to keep the blink aan bo. We don't need to come to church and pretend that everything's hunky-dory when everything is not hunky-dory. I think this is a safe space. It's a space where all of us can actually come. And when we're going through a tough time, when things are not going so well in our lives, we are to be able to actually say that to each other, hey, I'm going through a tough time. And maybe by me saying that to you this morning, maybe that gives you confidence that if I can say it over a mic, then you can say it to each other. But we are going through a little bit of a tough time as a family. Everything's okay. We're not losing our faith. We're not losing our marriage. But we're going through a bit of a tough time. And I'm not sure why. Sometimes life just gets difficult and you're not 100% sure why you feel like you feel. I think some of it has to do with the fact that it's now about 6 months that we moved, and I knew that there was a honeymoon period. I mean, you guys are like my honeymoon. It's been wonderful. But I also know that a honeymoon period comes to an end. The adrenaline fades, and then life settles into normality. And so it might be a little bit of that. It might be a little bit of the fact that we're coming to the end of the year. It might be the fact that we had 3 kids in 2 years, which again, I say is not advisable. I love them all. I would have just spread it out a little bit more if I could choose. And kids push on all your buttons. It might be financial pressure. It might be whatever. But I'm standing here this morning saying, as I'm preaching this, I feel a bit tired and I feel like I'm not at the best space. But the beautiful thing about the Bible is that the Bible really is encouraging. And there's so much in the Word that we can look to when we're going through tough times. Because it's not whether you will go through tough times. It is when you go through tough times. And if you're sitting here, you either just came out of a tough time in your life, or you are currently in a tough time, or I hate to break it to you, you are heading into a tough time. Is that encouraging? But tough times, really, it is part of our normal lives, and it's something we are to make peace with. And I just had an honest moment with you saying, man, I'm going through a bit of a tough time this morning, and I wonder, if I were to see into your heart this morning or ask you the question, how are you doing? And you know, not the traditional South African way, hey bud, how are you doing? And then you walk off without actually listening. If I were to do the psychologist thing to say, how are you doing? How are you really doing? You know that? I hate it when people do that. But if I were to do that to you and tell you this morning, how are you really doing? I wonder what type of answers would come out. If you were to examine your heart, if you had to have an honest moment like I had an honest moment now, I wonder how many of you would say, hey man, I'm actually going through a tough time at the moment. I know that there's lots. I know that there's also lots that says, man, I'm doing a little bit better, but actually I just came out of a bit of a difficult season. And if you're none of those, again, I hate to break it to you, sorry, but it's coming. It really is coming. But we need these honest moments because only when we come in honesty before God, then He can really come and do a deep work in us. When we like ostriches that put our heads in the sand when it's difficult and pretend like nothing's wrong and pretend like nothing's happening, then God can't do the work that He wants to do in us. We need to be honest. And when we're going through a tough time, when life gets difficult, you need to be able to say, life is difficult at the moment. So what I want to do is I want to open up the Bible with us. You're welcome to follow on your own. It will be on the screen, but I'm literally going to preach out of three verses this morning. Quick testimony about these three verses. This morning while we had prayer meeting, we normally gather about half an hour before church and we pray for the service. And Temba just, he led the prayer meeting this morning. We were praying outside. And Temba said, hey, good morning, everyone. I just want to share something with you that I felt for this morning. I want to share three verses with you. And he read James 1, verse 2 to 4. And that's exactly what I'm preaching about this morning. Exactly. I want to preach about those three verses, James 1, verse 2 to 4. And I just lifted up my hand and I said, Temba, do you know what I'm speaking about this morning? He said, no, no idea. I said, exactly what you asked us to pray for. And so I do believe that this is not just a word in the Bible, but it's a word in the Bible for us this morning. And it was confirmed in the prayer meeting. Temba had no clue what I'm preaching about, but he brought those exact verses. That encourages me. Maybe I was a bit nervous to preach this morning. Now I know, okay, at least God wants to speak to his people. And so let's trust that the word will become alive as we look at these verses, that it won't just be words scribbled on a piece of paper, but it would be God's word speaking to you into your heart this morning. So James 1 verse 2 to 4, just a little bit of context of this is, James is, as I think Helmut mentioned it this morning, or someone mentioned it, but James is Jesus's half-brother. They could not be full brothers because the Holy Spirit conceived. You following me? Okay, half-brother. Mary didn't have a second, you're following me, right? Half-brother because of the Holy Spirit, not because of a second marriage. But James was Jesus' half-brother. We know that during his lifetime, during Jesus' lifetime, he didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. It's sometimes like your own brothers and sisters. You can't believe good things about them. You're like, no, man, this person, I know them well. You don't know them. I know them. And so I think James was like that. But then what happened, the Bible teaches us that Jesus appeared to James after he was resurrected. So Jesus dies, resurrected, and one of the 500 people that he appears to is his half-brother James. James gives his life to the Lord, and he becomes the leader of the Jerusalem church. He becomes a very important figure in our Bibles, actually. And he writes this book, the book of James, and one of the main themes of this book is actually has to do with tough times. And he's encouraging a couple of churches. It's not directed at one church. It's the churches in the diaspora or the scattered churches. But he's writing to the scattered churches because he knows that these people who are scattered are going through a tough time or will go through a tough time. And so James, in his letter, he wants to convey a message to God's people for when they are going to go through a tough time or when they go through a tough time. And let me tell you about James. He is someone who really practiced what he preached. History tells us that the way that he died was actually that they threw him from the pinnacle of the temple. So there's a temple mountain in Jerusalem. The temple is at the top. They threw him from the mountain. History tells us he didn't die. They went with clubs and hit him until he was almost dead, and then they threw him with stones until he finally died. And so if there's anyone who knows about suffering and who lived it, who's not just preaching something but really lived it to the end, lived for Jesus right until the dying breath of his life, it was this man called James. And when he starts off his letter, he really actually starts by speaking about suffering. The first verse is just a verse of greeting. And then after he's greeted God's people, he doesn't mince words. He just goes straight at it. And he starts speaking about the suffering or the difficulties that all of us will face in this life. And I want you to be honest this morning and open up your heart. And if you are going through a tough time, just open your heart and say, Lord, I want these verses to speak to me this morning. Maybe I just pray for us for a moment. Lord, I pray just for us, your people, as we open up our hearts, that this is your living word. And your Bible really has the ability to even cut into our hearts. And so I pray that it would cut, but also, Lord, that it would encourage us and that we would be a people that find you in our darkest moments. Amen. So let's look at it. There's so much to unpack here, but let's look at James 1 verse 2. We start there. So I just want to look at this verse for a moment. This is where he starts off. He says, now, don't lose him as he starts here. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Just keep here for a moment. many of us lose him here because he says that we are supposed to be happy when we're going through a tough time. I don't know about you, but as a human being, I don't like going through a tough time. It's not nice going through a tough time. And so we could look at this and we could just say that's the Bible being idealistic. This is James being idealistic. But just bear with me for a moment. I want to unpack a few other things, and I want to show you how we can come to a place of even finding joy in our most difficult moments. So I'm going to leave the count it all joy part out for now. Just don't lose me here. We'll speak about the joy a bit later. But the first thing we notice here is that James is actually, when he writes this letter, he's not writing to unbelievers. He calls them my brothers. Now, that's just a term which includes sisters as well. So don't feel left out, ladies. You will suffer too. Okay. You don't have to. There's some verses you don't want for yourself. Maybe this would have been one, but unfortunately, it applies to you as well. I've seen it. My wife lives with me, so she also gets a little bit of the suffering. Was that a bad joke? Yes, that was a bad joke. But he speaks to Christians. He's not speaking to non-Christians. And many of us have such a bad theology about tough times. We feel like when you become a Christian, everything is supposed to be easy. Or at least easier. When churches throw out the net and they want people to come to salvation, many times I think they throw out a gospel or the good news that's not the true good news of the Bible. They say something like this: give your life to Jesus, your life is going to be so much better. And my life was better for a little while, but the longer I follow Jesus, I realized my life is still quite difficult. In fact, I think the message of the Bible and the message of receiving Jesus into your life is not that he's going to make life better, it's just that he's going to be there with you and teach you as you go through tough times. But if you are a Christian, you will go through tough times. You will go through suffering. You are not exempt from it. And we need to have a robust understanding of the fact that God is not angry with you when you're going through a tough time, but God is even using those times to teach you. Every Christian will go through suffering. And I laugh so much because many people, when they get tattoos, Christian tattoos, they get all the cliches. They get Jeremiah 29. What does that say? Anyone? I will come to give you... No, not life in abundance. No, I've forgotten. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. And people love to get those tattoos. That's the Christianity we like. People actually also use Philippians 4 out of context, even people who gym a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can bench more than anyone else through Christ who strengthens me. But that's a bad theology. If we understand what he's saying here, actually, I made a little tattoo that I think I want to encourage you as a Christian to get. If you can just show it quickly, please. Have you got it? Yes. Not the verse. That's it. So that verse, Paul's sitting over there, those of you who know him. That verse is John 16:33. This is a verse out of the Bible. This is a promise you can take for yourself if you're a Christian. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. Anyone like that verse? No, but you know who said that? Jesus said it. Jesus said that in this world, all of us will go through times of trouble. Thanks, you can put it away. Everyone's looking at Paul's biceps. Listen to these quotes quickly. Martin Luther said the following. These are well-known Christians. For more than a week, I was close to the gates of death and hell. Martin Luther just really had a low point in his life. Charles Spurgeon, the mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. C.S. Lewis, many of you know C.S. Lewis. God has not been trying an experiment on my faith. He knew it was not enough. I didn't. And so C.S. Lewis even says, man, I've come to the end of my faith through the tough times that I've gone through. So we need to make peace with the fact that we are going through trials. But you can just put verse 2 up for me again. But when it speaks, the first thing he wants us to understand is all of us will go through difficult times. But then he says an interesting word. He says, when you meet, not if you meet trials, when you meet trials of various kinds. The word various in Greek is poikilos, and the literal meaning of it is multicolored. And so James says all Christians will go through difficult times that are multicolored, meaning it will be different for each individual. There's a tailored tough time for you to go through. Encouraging, eh? Some of us will go through tough times that are short, some that are long. Some will be very intense, some will be not so intense. Some of us will go through emotional tough times, some through spiritual tough times, some through physical tough times. But what he's trying to say is he's not trying to just make it one thing. He's saying for all of us, we're going to go through different intensities of tough times and different types of tough times in our lives. I think he's referring to things like emotional tough times, depression, anxiety, anger, sadness, apathy, I just don't want to do anything, jealousy. Those are some of the difficulties that you will go through in your life because you are a human being. You will go through these things. He speaks about, I believe, spiritual tough times. Many of us think because God is perfect, we can't go through spiritual tough times. But I don't know about you, but I've had these times where I had an expectation of God and it didn't feel like God met my expectation and I struggled because of it. I wanted him to come through for me. I wanted him to answer a prayer and he didn't. And I don't understand it. And so I go through a spiritual tough time. Within this multicolored tough time spectrum that he speaks about, I think there's included things like sickness. Some people who struggle with pregnancy, they really want to fall pregnant and they can't. Or people who lose children. Some people who go through cancer. We have that in our congregation at the moment. And so it really is multifaceted. But James is first trying to let us see, hey, all of us will go through it, all Christians. And it will look different for each person. The worst thing we can do is compare my tough time to your tough time. The reason is the toughest tough time that I go through is still my toughest tough time. And your toughest tough time is still your toughest tough time. And so I can't compare it and feel like I have nothing to complain about because look at that person. Or say that person has nothing to complain about because look at my life. We are individuals and together we must realize, hey man, let's have sympathy with each other. Let's read verse 3 and 4. He goes on. And he says this about these difficult times that we go through. He says, for you know that, this is what it is, the testing of your faith will produce steadfastness. When life is difficult, it's a test. Everything is a test. Everything that we go through is a test. I like to pass tests. But sometimes the best thing for you to go through is to fail a test. Because when you fail a test, you know what to work on and you know where you need to improve. And so we can't be perfectionists. We can't be those people that say, man, I want to make it every time. Sometimes when you're going through a tough time and you just feel like you don't want to get out of that pit, that's the best place to turn to God and say, Lord, why? Why am I failing this test? Why am I struggling? But these difficult times are really tests. And if we can learn to stand under these tests, not just go away from it or say, please, God, deliver me, because, you know, that's the best prayer that Christians pray. Lord, I didn't study for this test. This is going to be so difficult. Please, Lord, give me the answer. Please let it go well, Lord. That's not how life works. But James is saying when you learn to go through tests in the correct manner, it will produce steadfastness. Steadfastness is also a really interesting word. It's the word hypomone, and hypo means to be under, and meno, the root word, means to remain. So what James is saying is when there are difficult times, we need to learn to remain under that tough time. My first prayer, can I have a volunteer? Wait, let me pick someone. Okay, Dean. Just come stand here, please. When we go through a tough time, you can just stand here, turn to them, please. He's been doing push-ups, so he should be fine. But effectively, what the Bible is trying to teach us is it says, tough times, it's something like this. And you might be in an 8 hours, believe donkey. Okay. This is a full 78 kilograms. I'm not proud of it, okay? But the first thing that he probably wants to do in this moment is he wants to buckle under the pressure. He wants to put me down. Don't put me down. But James is actually saying that what we are to learn to do is not buckle. Because while he's standing here shivering, might I add, Is it bietjie swaar? Two things are happening when we stay under and don't just want to get away from suffering or get away from tough times. Two things are happening. Firstly, he is being strengthened as he stands here. He doesn't know it, but if I do this every day or if he stays in this place, he will become stronger. Doesn't look like it's possible, but it's possible. He becomes stronger. The second thing that happens is he realizes where his weaknesses are so that he can go work on his weaknesses. If his legs buckle first, then he knows that he needs to work on his legs. If his arms buckle first, he knows that he needs to work on his arms. If his biceps buckle first, he knows what to work on. He knows where there's some work needed. And so the Bible word for steadfastness is really to remain under the pressure. And so when we are going through a tough time, please don't make your first prayer, "Lord, get me out of here." But the prayer that we should pray is, "Lord, what are you teaching me?" Okay, you can give him a round of applause. They say muscle is heavier than fat. That's why you felt me so heavy right there. Romans 5 verse 3, let me read this to you because it sums up so well. It's the same word actually. It says, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance." It's that same word, hypomeno. Suffering produces a strength in us. You know that God wants you to carry something in this life. He's got a calling for you. He wants to use you in the lives of others, in the lives of your family, in the lives of your colleagues. But the only way for you to be strengthened enough to carry the calling that God has on you is to remain under the pressures of life, to not just want it away. And as we become mature Christians, essentially when you start off as a Christian, sometimes a difficult time will just throw you off. But as we grow in our faith, we're supposed to be those who can stand under the pressure of difficult times in our lives and allow God to show us what it is that he wants from us. A couple of years ago, why am I out of breath? I didn't do anything. A couple of years ago, I went through a bit of a test, a physical test. I was never a cyclist, but I did this race called the Transpavians. I might have told you guys. It's 230 kilometers on a bicycle, and I'm not a cyclist at all. I wore skinny jeans just so you can see I'm not a cyclist. I'm not. But I decided I really want to do this thing. I want to go through this test. I want to show that I can do it. I can do this race. And I had a bicycle that's not the best bicycle at all. You call it a hardtail, meaning it doesn't have a shock at the back. And 230 kilometers through the Bavians Kloof over those roads that just do that the whole time, I was in a lot of pain. I struggled. I remember getting to the end. This is actually an interesting one. About, I think, 160, 170 kilometers into the race, my legs were so numb. I just wanted to get to the end. And I remember there was the last point where your family could meet you. And Carla was waiting at that point. It was on a farm. And I went up to her. And I just gave her a hug, and I just wanted to cry and just tell her, "This is not nice." I just wanted someone who I could trust just to tell them, "Listen, I'm not enjoying this." It's all I wanted to say. Maybe I'm a bit embarrassed to say, I was more emotional in that moment seeing her than on our wedding day. I was so emotional. I just felt like I just want to cry on someone's shoulder. This is not nice. I got to the end of the 230 kilometers, felt dead. I couldn't walk for a couple of days. I had to go for a mini operation. I'm not going to tell you what for. It was bad. It was not nice. And I hung up my bicycle like that, and I sold my bicycle with Bobby Arnstluff's dust still on that bicycle. I was over it. I'm not a cyclist. I'm never going to be a cyclist. I'll go for fun, but I don't like it. See, the difference here is actually the difference between Christians and non-Christians that go through a test. If you are a non-Christian, all you want to do is, "I just want to get on the other side of this difficulty so that I can give up and say, never again." But Christians, we've got a different mindset when it comes to this. My mindset is more, I want to be fit for life. I want to be a cyclist, not I want to go for a cycle. That's the difference. My friend who did it with me, he's still cycling today because at his core, he is a cyclist. That was just a test for him. And so we need to learn to not just be those who say, "Oh, I just want these difficult times to go away," because that's what the world does. The world, you want to just be as comfortable as possible. But with Christianity, it's different. We see a different picture. We see that God is working in us in our difficulties. He's making us stronger. He's calling us for more. And so he's doing a beautiful work in us. And so we've got a different perspective. And afterwards, we don't say, please, never again. We say, Lord, just let me be stronger. Does that make sense? And so I don't even know all of you and whether all of you are fully serving the Lord at this moment. Some of you, I'm not naive. Some of us, I grew up like this. You just come to church because going to church is a good thing. And maybe that's a good start. Maybe that's how God got you here. But I really believe that he wants to even change your perspective this morning to say, man, I'm working in you. When you're going through a tough time, it's not me frowning at you. It's actually me wanting to work in you. And I want to even encourage you this morning that you would give your life over to him because it will change your perspective on life and how you go through life completely. Let's just read verse 2 again. I said I would get to this because the biggest question with difficult times for me is how is it possible to be joyful in your difficult times? I'm standing here as one who was honest with you, and I'm struggling to find joy in where I am at the moment. It's not easy for me. I'm not one of those super Christians that just say, oh man, praise God, it's so great, it's always fine, and I'm suffering. No, I'm standing here and I'm saying, this is a difficult verse for me. It's like an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? Oxymoron is a, what's it in Afrikaans? A teenstrijdigheid? A what? Military intelligence. Yeah, like military intelligence. A what? A teenstelling. It's like a teenstelling. I wrote a few down for you. Joyful suffering. That's basically what this verse is telling us. Be those who suffer joyfully. And I'm like, the two words don't fit together. It's like act naturally. Okay? It's like, yes, that was awfully good. Doesn't make sense. It's like, that was clearly confusing. Doesn't make sense. It's like silent worship. No. It's like a quiet toddler. No. Or it's like a short sermon. The two just don't. I'm joking. This will be a shorter sermon. The two don't necessarily fit together, and I feel like that, just to be honest. I think many of us feel like that. Say, yes, I'll go through tough times, but how do I come to a place of doing what James is saying here, to be joyful when going through tough times? It doesn't feel like it fits together. It's like the Springboks losing, huh? Doesn't fit together. How do I actually do that? The way we do it is actually found in the text, and there's an answer here for us, and the answer is, in the word that he uses there, that first word that's used there, he says, count it all joy when you face difficulty. If we can learn to count it all joy, we will be able to find joy. Now, I want to look at that word just for a moment, zoom in, and then I'm going to end. But when you count something, that's a mathematic term. It has nothing to do with feelings. He's not saying feel joy when you go through difficulties. He's saying count it as joy. So he's saying, do not do art. This is not a poem. He's saying, do math when it comes to difficulty. Those of you who are in finances, Eleanor, I think she's an accountant. You've got two columns in accounting. What he's basically saying is you've got the debit one, which is money that comes in. You've got credit, money that you owe. This word that is used is like an accounting term. He's saying, when you go through tough times, you need to learn in your mind to count it as a good thing, not in your heart. I'm going to give you the Greek word here. It has nothing to do with heart. It has nothing to do with feeling. So if you're struggling to feel it, that's okay. You must first learn to think it, to think, to have a good theology, to have it in your mind that God is doing something good, even though it might not feel like it. I put it in the debit column. I put it in the positive column because I know that the Bible teaches me that this is a good thing, whether I feel it or not. The word there, count, is hegasaste, and it literally means to lead in the mind. You know that our hearts follow our minds. And so if you want to feel better about difficult times, you first need to think better about difficult times. And when we count it, what we are doing is we are wrestling with our theology. We go back to the sermon. We go back to the scriptures. And I remind myself in my mind that this is a good thing. And I say it, Leonard, this is a good thing. God is producing something beautiful in you. And if I can get to a place of really seeing it in my mind, my heart will start to follow. But I first need to do what this verse says, to lead in the mind. Philippians 3 verse 7 and 8, the first part of it, it's the same word, counting. Paul says, not this, no, he says something else. He says Philippians 3. But whatever gain I had, meaning I had so much in this world, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Many times when I give things up for God, we think that the Christian thing to do is it's just supposed to be easy. We're looking at the building fund at the moment and we're wrestling with our budget. How much can we give? I want to just say, I count it all as a loss in my heart. It's so easy to give. But in actual fact, what he's saying here, it's that same word counted. He's saying, no, I lead my mind to that place first. Where when I give things up for Christ, I count it in my mind a loss for the sake of Christ. And then the next verse. Indeed, I count everything as a loss, mathematics, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's saying, when I weigh it up, when I think about it, I know in my mind, even though my heart is behind, I know in my mind that Jesus is better than whatever else is in my life. And I will decide in my mind to give myself to that and to count this mathematically as a loss. That is what we are to do. It's basically like going to the doctor. None of us really like going to the doctor. It's not nice. Your emotions don't say, yippee, I'm going to the doctor today. It's going to be so great. Going for an operation. If you do, please, I will pray for you afterwards. But we don't get excited necessarily about going to the doctor. But what do? In our minds, we know that it will be good for us in the long run. And so we do it. And so we find joy in the positive effect that it will gain for us. And in that same way, we approach difficult times in our lives. I want to read you a last verse as I end. It's just a few verses on. It's James 1 verse 12. If we succeed in doing these things, we lead our mind, we know that we'll go through suffering, and we know that it will look different, but we lead our minds to finding joy in God. This is the outcome that we can hope for, and with this I'm ending, and then we can stand and pray. I'd love to actually pray for those who might be going through a difficult time. It says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast. Again, that word that I showed you, steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. There will be a reward for us if we are those that stand through the difficult times, which God has promised to those who love him. If you want to get to the reward that God has for you at the end of your life, listen, the thing that we need to learn is to stand under difficult times. We can lose out on what God has for us, the reward he has for you because he loves you. You can lose out on that reward because all you want to do is say, I don't understand this difficulty. It can't be from God. Lord, get it away from me. You will lose what God has for you. But if you can say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't feel it. But Lord, in my mind, I will lead myself to knowing that you are doing something. And I will ask myself, the next verse is here actually, for wisdom. I will ask you for wisdom to understand what I need to pass in this test so that I do not need to rewrite it. Rewriting a test is not great. And so we want to pass these tests. We want to stand under them and allow God to do the work that he wants to do in you. So you are going through a tough time. Most of us. I'm going through a tough time. It's multicolored, so mine and yours and yours and yours looks totally different. The question is, can we ask God, Lord, what do you want to do in me? And can we ask God not for deliverance, but strength to stand in this tough time? Can we stand?